San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Sunday, August 7, 2022. Today's lesson is Mother Nature with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited. It's a whole brand new month of August, and we have a whole brand new theme of nature. So let's anchor ourselves in and then get right on with it. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And if you think about nature, just looking around everywhere to see all that nature is, and that this is nature's song that we just heard as our special music. We live and move and have our being in nature. Well, let me tell you, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. When I was looking things up to be able to share fully things about nature rather than just off the top of my head. Let's face it, I've lived in nature for decades and decades, probably more than some people would like to count. And I love nature, and I've always felt an affinity to nature. But you're not looking for my opinion. Just like Quimby, you want the truth. You don't want my opinion. So I looked some things up and I thought, well, it's always nice to have quotes about a topic. So I went looking for quotes for nature and I found something that I just loved, and I'm going to share this with you. There is a website on parade.com. There's an article by Maren Lyles or Lilies, 101 nature quotes to appreciate the beauty of the outdoors. And I thought, hey, they're going to have something good. I just know they are. Well, little did I realize that the best thing they had, apart from other websites with quotes, is an introduction that I loved. And this is what I'm going to share with you. Maren wrote, "Nothing compares to nature's beauty. From spring's hopeful new blossoms and fall's exquisite array of colors to winter's magic and summer's energy, each season abounds with different types of natural beauty to explore and admire." Well, she's right. These are the wonders of nature. And we are living everyday wonder this year as our theme. And one of the most wonderful parts of that is that we are here every Sunday, right in wonderful nature. We are right here with Mother Nature every Sunday. And I love it. She goes on to say, "From enchanting nature's beauty quotes that evoke visions of lush meadows full of brilliantly colored flowers or dense forests with sky-high trees, to famous quotes about nature's ever-present and absolutely fundamental role in our lives. These quotes about nature will have you itching to get off your couch and get outside." Well, here you are, right here, right now, off your couch, if you ever really were on it, but outside in the fresh air. She says, "So whether you keep it simple and kick back in your backyard with your immediate family, or you do something a bit more adventurous like hitting the local trails for a socially distant hike with your pup, take a moment to get outdoors and appreciate the world's natural wonders. Since spending a little bit of time in nature is like chicken soup for the soul, and we could all use a little more of that right now." So I liked that. I thought it was really, really great. Ernest Holmes talks about nature, and he talks about it in terms of the power of the universe. On page 33 of the Science of Mind textbook, in paragraphs 2 and 3, he shares this wisdom with us that I am now sharing with you. Nature seems to await our comprehension of her. And since she is governed by immutable laws, the ignorance of which excuses no man from their effects, the bondage of humanity must be a result of our ignorance of the true nature of reality. The storehouse of nature may be filled with good, but this good is locked to the ignorant. The key to this door is held in the mind of intelligence, working in accordance with universal law. Through experience, man learns what is really good and satisfying, what is truly worthwhile. As his intelligence increases and his capacity to understand the subtle laws of nature grows, he will gradually be set free. As he learns the truth will automatically free him. Ernest goes on to say, when we learn to trust the universe, we shall be happy, prosperous, and well. We must learn to come under that divine government and accept the fact that nature's table is ever filled. Never was there a cosmic failure. The finite alone has wrought and suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose. God is always God. No matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation may be, there is always a something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. We may stumble, but always there is that eternal voice, forever whispering within our ear, that thing which causes the eternal quest, that thing which forever sings and sings. So what Ernest is telling us is that nature is God, is the universe, and God is nature, and God is the universe. That, you know, how many times can I say, in the infinitude of all things, there's nothing else to be? And yet I say that often, but there's two reasons why I say it. One is repetition of thought. The other is I really, really like the word infinitude. So the divine laws, the principles, the spiritual principles, all of these are invisible and they are the creation that is made up of the Creator, which is only natural. It's only natural that there, all that there is one. Even the concept of there being something outside of the one makes me scratch my head and go, really? How could that possibly be? Every single faith talks about the eternality of the divine, the wholeness of the divine, the allness of the divine, whatever they choose to call the divine. In the glossary, page 635 of the Science of Mind textbook, it talks about supernatural. Believe it or not, they don't have nature in the glossary as a specific term. And I looked through the entire thing and I thought, well, that's because they've got cosmic law, that's because they've got principle, that's because they've got, you know, all these different things that are, that include having the description of nature in them. But to be supernatural, Holmes says, that which is considered above or beyond natural law or order. Miraculous, superhuman, preternatural. And so when we think, if nature is absolutely everything, everything is natural, what is supernatural? And it's a human term. It's good to remember that all words are human terms. These are words we use with each other. Many of them we have agreed upon definitions so that we can communicate more effectively. It doesn't mean everything that we're communicating comes across as we intend it. Ernest says, preternatural exceeds in some way that which is natural, ordinary, or explicable without being felt as supernatural. Superman, many times used as the equivalent to supernatural, is often used in hyperbole of what, though merely human, far exceeds ordinary standards when we speak of someone putting forth superhuman effort in the accomplishment of something. In metaphysics, we learn that much of what has been termed supernatural is divinely natural. It's all divinely natural. It's the working out of natural law. It is only termed miraculous when we do not know the law back of it and governing it. The supernatural simply means over and beyond or above nature's or above that which is natural, not a violation of nature's laws, but a transcendence of them, a transcendence of nature's laws. Because we look at our human lives and we say, oh, okay, we're so smart that we have figured out what everybody's perfect body temperature should be. We're so smart. 98.6. No, no. That was a natural outcome of Fahrenheit taking his wife's temperature 100 times, and that was the average. Other people have other average bodily temperatures, but we are so smart that our scientists have now claimed that this is your average temperature. This is what your temperature is supposed to be. This is what your respiration level is supposed to be. Your heart rate is supposed to be. Your bone density is supposed to be. All these things the scientists and the doctors have gathered together and said, we decree that this is optimum for human life. Like everything, there are exceptions to every rule. Every rule. But that's okay. So we want to look at nature. Everything is natural. We can look at it with an example of a phenomenon that occurs throughout nature. By looking at what happens. Let's say there's a plant. It's got a seed. It cracks its shell. It grows up a little. It starts shooting off stems and leaves and buds and all these different things. It grows. It grows on its own. There's not some teacher in the background, oh, okay, get out that left leaf, start to unfurl it. No, it is natural. It is inherent within the plant. Volcanoes. What do volcanoes do? They have magma in them, and occasionally they erupt in a great explosion. Earthquakes, what are they? They are pressure mounting with the tectonic plates, and then they move, they shift, because they're under pressure. Well, in The Science of Mind, page 628, buried deep in the middle of a different description, Ernest Holmes wrote this. He wrote, "Things will stand just so much pressure and no more. When a limit is reached, an explosion will follow unless some avenue of expression is provided." Plants exploding with their growth, volcanoes erupting in an explosion to release the pressure, earthquakes shaking the earth to relieve the pressure. What are we doing in nature, in our natural lives? What are we doing to relieve the pressure? We're exploding, or we're expressing. You with me so far? Okay, so please place a hand over your heart and affirm with me. Today, and every wonderful day, I am one with all of life on planet Earth and throughout existence. It is part of my divine nature, and so it is. So simply breathe. Just breathe. You have just affirmed your ability to fully express yourself naturally, exactly as you are. Exactly as you are. Edmund Burke wrote, "Never did nature say one thing and wisdom another." And that's because wisdom is in nature, and nature is in wisdom. It serves us well to understand and work with nature rather than to attempt to control the uncontrollable. Nature is spiritual principles expressed. It is universal principles expressed. All laws of nature have always been and will always be in alignment with the universal spiritual truths and principles that we know to exist. When plants are growing, we know gravity says that the roots grow down and the leaves grow up. And yet we find that there are plants that are grown upside down. Is that unnatural? No. It's creative. It's creative. Somebody decided it would be a lot easier for me to have the little cherry tomatoes hanging down from my patio where I can just pick them off at eye level than me having to go down on my knees, put in the trellises, wind the tomato vines. A lot of effort. So how about if I just hang it upside down and let it make air its trellis? Well, yeah, that works. And it seems like it wouldn't work because we know that plants grow seeking the sun. But they also see the sun, find the sun, when they are out of the dirt. They grow plants and propagate seeds on the space station to see how they grow in zero gravity situations. And to the best of my knowledge, they grow. They grow. It's a different environment than here on planet Earth, but they're still seeds. They still have within them that urge to express, the divine urge to express, the wisdom and the knowledge, and every one of them says, I must express or explode. All of these are natural law. We know that God cannot stand against God. God cannot stand against itself. And God is nature. Spirit is nature. Nature is spirit. Nature cannot violate its own laws. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Everything in nature contains all the powers of nature. Everything is made of one hidden stuff. one hidden stuff. And we know what that is. One of the wonderful things about nature is it is so, so based in law and yet so creative. Absolutely creative. Everything that occurs is a natural phenomenon. The birds flying in the sky, that's a natural phenomenon. It's within and in accordance with the laws of divine principle, engineering, physics. Just because it took a long time for people to learn how to fly doesn't mean that the wisdom and knowledge wasn't already there. They just hadn't figured it out yet. Some of the things that we consider natural phenomenon, people really complain about. Storms, floods, droughts. Insurance companies call these acts of God. Natural phenomena, acts of God. And they say when it's an act of God, we don't have to pay for the damages. That's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I just know what I'm going into with that caveat in the insurance claims. But all of this, these acts of God, these natural phenomena, it's just nature. It's just nature being nature. It's creation. It's change. It's all new creation that exists, and all new creation begins with what could be perceived as destruction. A river with lots of water, more water than will fit in its banks, needs to create a new path. And some human has built a home in the new path that would be natural for the river to take. I grew up in a section of land that was the former path of the Santa Clara River. It was rerouted and housing projects were built, and there was this big long it was like a big empty nothing low on the ground between Rio Plaza and Satakoy. There was a bridge between those areas. And when you drove across the bridge, you could look way down and see dirt. And you could see some kind of either mining or some kind of equipment that was down there, big equipment. And along the side of the bridge, it said Santa Clara River. There was this little road sign, Santa Clara River. There was no river. There was no river at all. Until the rains came. And I'll tell you more about those rains and how they came in 1969 next week when we talk about the water of life. Nature is nature. There are a lot of people who are concerned about climate change. Now, in the 70s, we were bringing on a new ice age. We were all going to freeze, and the world was going to end by, like, I don't know, 1995 or something. Then it became global warming, and all of the icebergs and snow caps and everything were going to melt, and the water was going to raise, I don't know, 6 feet, 7 feet across the world. That would have been a big deal had I still lived in Rio Plaza, because we were real close to sea level there. When I lived in Virginia, no big. I would live on an island. Where I lived when I first moved to San Diego and where I live now, I live on a hill. Does that mean I never had to be concerned about global warming and the oceans rising? No, it meant that I should listen to, we're approaching another ice age. We're now gonna have global warming. And now, since we got in trouble for changing the name from cold to hot, we're gonna call it climate change. And the truth is, it is weather. It's natural, it's weather. The weather patterns and climate patterns over the Earth run in 128,000 year cycles. Did you know that? We're right on track. We are right on track. So we're not going to freeze. We don't all need to invest in snowshoes and boot warmers. We're not going to melt. There's still water. But there are other things that are surrounding not just this topic, but related topics. Chemtrails, droughts, whatever, lightning strikes. And there are superstitions around these things. This week, there was a natural phenomena that occurred in Washington, D.C. It was captured on film, and they actually were able to see 6 lightning strikes in the same place in Washington, D.C., right across from the White House. I have always told people, I don't believe that God sits on a throne in a long white gown with a long white beard and throws lightning bolts at people who upset him. It just doesn't make sense. However, those lightning bolts triggered all those fears in people. Were they vengeance bolts or were they perfectly natural? I think they're perfectly natural. And I think it is absolutely wonderful that somebody caught on film 6 strikes in the same spot. It was fabulous. I watched the little video several times going, wow, wow, that's amazing. And then I watched another one and it had them like all spaced out over several seconds, not just a few seconds. And I said, that doesn't look right. So I was watching close. And it was a replay, a whole bunch of replays, because the drops on the camera were repeated exactly. The raindrops on the lens were repeated exactly. So I thought, okay, so all this is you can see it over and over and over again instead of hitting replay every time. Perfectly natural. That's what happens. Natural law. Natural law. Today is August 7th. You know that. I know that. It might be just another Sunday to you, but to me it's a special day. Childbirth is one of nature's greatest miracles. Every one of us here is familiar with that. Having either children who gave birth, or having given birth ourselves. On August 7th, forget what year. On August 7th, in the 90s, my first grandson was born. Childbirth is natural, but it's not simple or easy. A lot of things can occur during the childbirth process, and yet hundreds of thousands of women give birth every day. every single day this wonder of life happens. Some of them are surrounded by doctors and medical situations to help support the mother and child through a complicated delivery system. When my daughter was giving birth, her child was late. Now, let me caveat this with, I was born 2 weeks late. My daughter was born 3.5 weeks late. And so her son was 3 days late. And the doctor wanted to induce. And she was up in Riverside, I'm down in San Diego. And I go, honey, babies come when it's time for them to come. Just, you know, let him come. And the doctors and her husband and her mother-in-law, who was a nurse, and, you know, they're all wrapped around her. And they go, no, you have to induce. It's bad for the baby to be in there too long. So they induced her labor. She was in induced labor for like 48 hours, not proceeding. And then finally, she started to proceed. She went in, and in the process of giving birth to my grandson, she had 2 heart attacks that she survived, but left her heart weak. Now, I'm not all that judgmental all the time, but I've always felt that if they hadn't artificially induced, that it would have been a much easier birth. And if it came time that the child was too big to pass through the canal, she could have had a cesarean. But to almost die giving birth in the 1990s broke my heart. However, my grandson is now 26 today, 6'4", huge hulking guy, and we are all grateful that everything worked out as well as it did. I can't look back and say, well, if they hadn't have done that, my daughter wouldn't have had heart attacks and she wouldn't have a weak heart now. No, that's blaming. That's living in the past. What I need to do is say, I love my children and my grandchildren, whatever it took to get all of us here in this moment. Because that's natural. It is not natural to look back in our history and live our life as if everything that went before is a clear and present danger in the moment. I cannot lose my husband again. He's gone. Physically, he's gone, and yet he is still with me. We cannot live in the pain of a vehicle accident over and over and over when the vehicle's long been crunched and turned into soup cans or something, and we've healed. It's natural for us to want to live in the moment, here and now. I have lots of nieces and nephews with babies. They're still having babies. Their babies are having babies. Lots of, and there are actually a nice collection of them under 5 years old right now. One of my cousins posted a thing about baby's feet. And it had a picture of a baby foot with dirt on the bottom, a chubby little baby barefoot. And the image showed the bone area that if you step your foot down in ink and then you put it on paper, then they can tell your arch and you're this and you're that. Well, it talked about whether or not babies learning to walk should be wearing shoes. Do you want your baby to have shoe-shaped feet? or feet-shaped feet, and to allow the baby to go barefoot as it's learning to walk. Then I found this great quote by Khalil Gibran. He wrote, "Forget not that the earth delights in your bare feet and the wind longs to play with your hair." If we were running around here barefoot and letting the breeze get in our hair, we would feel absolutely joyful because we are connecting with Mother Earth, Mother Nature. There's a whole philosophy that they call grounding, encouraging people to take their shoes off and go outside and walk on the ground to get grounded with Mother Nature, grounded with Mother Earth. Aristotle, we all know who he was, ancient philosopher, he said, "In all things of nature, there is something of the marvelous." And Frank Lloyd Wright, who was a world-famous architect, he designed structures to harmonize with their natural surroundings. He was asked if he believed in God. He said, "I believe in God, only I spell it nature." Well, he was a pretty wise man. God, spirit, the universe, is nature in which we all live and move and have our being. So thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.